And so it was that he came back, and it's a beautiful picture. As he came back home, and we discovered last week exactly what the Father did for him as he ran out and met him and embraced him and kissed him. And as he put a robe on him and a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and food in his stomach. And he killed the fatted calf.
Welcome to a wonderful week of encouragement with Dr. Don Wilton, each and every day, opening God's encouraging word together. There's been such a tremendous response to Dr. Wilton's message on prodigals last week. Today and tomorrow, we have a fresh new message called Prodigals Before and After. It's taking us to the next step in continuing to love and minister to our prodigals in our lives. And for us that have been, most of us at some point in time, prodigals in our own life, now we continue to grow in our faith with Jesus Christ. As we study God's Word together, know that we're available for you. We'd love to pray with and for you at the other end of 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number, 866-899-9673. Or we can connect together online as well at theencouragingword.org. Now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
When Jesus told the story of my life, he told us the story of your life. The story about the prodigal son is the picture that God wants every one of us to have of the way in which the Father loves you and me. I want to encourage you today not to simply think of someone else as a prodigal, because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to leave home to be a prodigal. Every person who gives their life to Christ is nonetheless a sinner saved by God's grace alone. How many times do you and I battle with God? How many times do we drift and stray? This is a picture of rebellion. It's a picture of sin. It's a picture of the human heart. It's my struggle, it's yours. I have a story. You have a story. See, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus when I was just 8, right up in the mountains of Zululand in Africa. And I really believe that at that age, God called me even to be a preacher. Now, I couldn't have put it in those words, but I had a horse, and I used to get on my horse every week with a little 7-single record player, for those of you that are old enough to remember that. And it had a little windy thing on it that I would have to crank it up, and I had Zulu records that would have gospel messages in the Zulu language, and I would use these Zulu records, and I would go into the mountains of Zululand in Africa, and tribesmen would come from everywhere, and they would gather around, and they would come and listen. They would come and listen to what God was saying. And so it is that as a very, very young boy, not even old enough to know, that I would ride around those hills and valleys in Zululand in Africa, and I would tell people about Jesus. Very real to me. But from that age onwards, and particularly when I became a teenager, I began to leave the Father's house. Now, you got to remember something, folks. I had the most wonderful parents. Still do to this day. Not bragging on my mother and father, but as I look back, they almost mirrored what I believe the Father shows us in His Word. Never stopped loving me, praying for me, never changed toward me. But I tell you, increasingly, as I fell into wrong company and wrong places, never in a major, major bad way, but I just got away from the Lord. By the time I got to my military service, nobody would have even known where I was, that I even had any relationship with Christ. Met this beautiful young lady when I got out of the service and fell in love with her. Had no idea I'd be married to her today all these years. Love her with all of my heart. And through her witness and the prayers of my mother and father, going to a worship service, just something like this, just on a much smaller scale. Didn't have a clue what the fella preached about. But I tell you, God spoke to my heart. Said, son, come back home. And I did. I've never looked back. Here in the Bible, something extraordinary happens. You need to turn there with me just one more time to Luke chapter 15. I want to today to give you a special invitation. I want to extend to you the Father's love. And the Lord has put in my heart today to share with you a message which I've entitled Prodigals, Before They Leave and After They Come Back Home. Why? Because I believe that every person ever born has all the potential in the world to be a prodigal. And prodigals sometimes come out of the very best homes, folks. And interestingly enough, and ironically enough, when prodigals do come back, many times their coming back is fraught with all kinds of difficulties, guilt and depression, and even sometimes the scorn of the older brother. What has God got to say about that? I'm going to read to you just a few verses in Luke chapter 15. And I want to begin with just verse 11. And he said there was a man who had two sons. Here's the picture. Can you see it? Two boys, two girls, one boy, one girl. Doesn't matter. Here's this family unit. Something happened in this family unit. These two were born just like you and me. And one of them, just one of them, went and decided they were no longer willing to submit to their father's authority. They were no longer willing to do what the father instructed them to do. They were no longer willing to live under the guidance of the Father. And ironically, America, this one young son stood up and said, you've got to understand something. I'm an American. I've got rights. Nobody tells me what to do. Not even the Father. I'm going to live this life the way I want to live it. I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm going to paddle my own canoe. I'm going to go in my own direction. And so I want you to give to me that which is mine. And I'm going to go. And so he took what was rightfully his, and he went off into a faraway land, and there he lived according to his own standard. He was his own lighthouse. He finally was able to get away and make his own decisions. His choices were entirely his. He had his own dorm room at last. There was no curfew. He could come and go as he pleased. And he decided that he no longer needed anybody telling him what he needs to do. And the Bible says that he fell on increasingly hard times and he squandered what was his and he ended up in a very bad place. But thank God he came to his senses. And realizing that actually what the Father had provided for him was not so bad after all. In fact, it was absolutely essential. And that real happiness was not defined by the right with which I conduct my own affairs, but that true freedom can only be defined within the context of the Father's love. Because our Heavenly Father has a perfect plan for all those that love Him, and He will fulfill the desire of every heart. That's the great irony. He came to understand that back in his Father's house, he actually was free. And that license is a relative term. And so it was that he came back, and it's a beautiful picture. As he came back home, and we discovered last week exactly what the Father did for him as he ran out and met him and embraced him and kissed him, and as he put a robe on him and a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and food in his stomach. And he killed the fatted calf.
Forgive the interruption. We'll dive back into verse 25 in just a few moments. But Dr. Wilton wants me to remind you, we're here for you. We are connecting right now, both on the phone and online. Our website is theencouragingword.org. And our phone number is 866-899-WORD. Now, that's easy to remember for a minute, but if you want the numbers, open your phone and consider making us a contact in your phone. Store this. You might need it 24 hours a day. We take those calls. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you. Be one of your 2 a.m. friends at 866-899-9673. That's 866-899-9673. 9673. We'd love to connect with you and connect you with God's encouraging word. We can do it online as well at theencouragingword.org. And before we go back to today's teaching, just wanted to share this brief testimony about how the encouraging word and the Bible itself, God's encouraging word, is changing lives every day.
I started receiving your daily guide as a birthday gift. I have been so blessed and moved by the daily word. It's as if this devotional was tailor-made especially for me. I, in turn, gave a donation and signed my niece up to receive it. She called me in tears, saying, "Aunt Barbara, God is speaking to me personally. Every word has given me hope. Thank you for this ministry."
It's exciting to see what God is doing through the Bible itself, His encouraging word. Boy, we'd love to put that in your hands every single day. If you're not already receiving the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Wilton, you can sign up right now on our website at theencouragingword.org. Or if you're on the go and just have your cell, text the word DAILY to 30500. We'll send you a link, and you can sign up and be receiving those emails every single morning. Again, just text the word DAILY to 30500, and we'll connect you with God's Word every single day. More details, of course, on our website at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message, Prodigals, Before and After, with Dr. Don Wilton.
My good friend John Sheesby wrote an incredible book about the prodigal. And I was reminded even this week that he spoke about the fact that this incredible act of the Father's love, he killed the fatted calf. X marks the spot, saying to the Son, the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice is forever yours. That forgiveness does not change. And that what the Father requires of all of us is that we come to our senses by the Spirit of God, and we turn around in an act of repentance and we move back toward the Father. That's what repentance is. It's an active ingredient whereby I am moving in my own direction, and I suddenly realize that without the love of my Father, I'm left to myself and I'm going to end up in the worst kind of circumstance. And I turn around and I look back into the Father's face. That's what repentance is. It's turning around from ourselves and going back to our Father, and look what happened. I've experienced that. I've experienced that. I know what it's like to get up out of the pig pen. You may be interested to know that in my case it was quite literal, because I did work with pigs in Africa, large white sows, on beautiful farms in southern Africa. And my responsibility, as much as some of you don't like to know, was to take care of those large white sows, including cleaning up after them, which is something that never stops. And one time my girlfriend drove 500 miles to come to where I was working. And I decided I only had like one night off to be able to go and visit with my girlfriend. And so I took the farm truck that I used for the pigs. And I drove to the city where she was. And I went and picked her up. And that duckling of mine got into that truck. She never said a word. I was all smoochy, smoochy, wanting to hold her hand. And only today, 100 years later, do I realize why she sat as far as she could on the other side. And we went to a drive-thru, much like Sonic, you know, that type of thing, excepting you don't drive up to a little box back then. You drove into a parking lot, and someone walked out with a tray and came up to your motor car, and they got your order. Well, they came out and walked toward my truck. And I'm here to tell you today, I am still upset by the fact that this idiot got halfway to my truck, stopped in his tracks, turned around and went back, and never took my order. I know what it's like to work in a pig pen. But I want to read to you what happened, because the Bible tells us something rather remarkable happened. They began to celebrate in verse 24. Verse 25, now his older son, this is the big brother, was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come back home, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But the older brother was angry, and he refused to go in, and his father came out and entreated him. Look, my son, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, and yet you never gave me, the son said, a young goat that I might celebrate. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And the father said to him, this is where I want you to really listen. Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. He was gone. He's come back home again. I want to say something practically. So this is your pastor putting on a practical hat. Before I share with you three golden truths here, I want to say something to somebody about some of the things that you and I can do before they leave. This is what we need to be doing. Parents, this is a special word for you. This is a special word for parents. I'm going to give you some thoughts. Now, there are many more, and I want to predicate what I'm saying. You can do all of this, and you still will never match the pure father's love. Some prodigals come out of the very best homes. What can you do before your child gets to that time? Here are a couple of things. Number one, pray a lot. Just pray a lot. Prayer changes things. Pray a lot. I will, as long as I can have life, I can remember coming home, and I know that my little mama is going to just sit there and cry. But I can remember coming home so angry and discombobulated, rebellious. And I can remember sometimes walking down the corridor of our home in Africa. And as I would go past my mother and father's bedroom, I could hear a voice in there. And it would be like a magnet. I would stop and look through the crack in the door, and my little Scottish mother was on her knees. And these prodigal ears would hear that little mama of mine crying out to God for the son who went from a prodigal to a pastor. I can hear the drone coming out of my father's study, of my father calling out to the Lord. Pray a lot. Number two, dedicate your babies to the Lord. Parents, look at me. Jesus was dedicated. Baby dedications are not a ritual. Jesus was taken to the temple. The pastor of that temple took that baby. He prayed, number one, for the parents. Baby dedications are first and foremost for you and me as parents, because we need a lot of wisdom, don't we? If we don't have wisdom, you know what you're going to do? You're just going to wring the little fella's neck. Listen, just for the record's sake, bringing up children, sometimes what you really want to do is say, excuse me, go and play in the traffic. Are you talking to me or are you chewing a brick? Right? How do we know how to love and exercise spiritual wisdom? The second thing that he did was that he took baby Jesus and he dedicated him to God the Father. You must do that. Dedicate your children. Number three, impress on your children. The Old Testament's full of that. Impress the truth of God's word on your children from the youngest age. Write them on the doorposts. Folks, let me tell you what's up for grabs in America. Just a little while, I spoke to you about a fresh vision. We're a church that believes in sharing God's truth. We stand upon God's word. That's what we do. We believe we need to hear from God. So I don't come here on Sunday mornings and give you a whole lot of little stories and then take God and Jesus out of the clouds somewhere and salt and pepper what I've got to say. And that's happening all over America today. It's the most popular form of preaching, is to just get up and do a whole lot of cutesy things, pull God out of the clouds and give him an honorable mention somewhere to make everybody feel better. No, no, no. Sharing truth, standing on God's truth, means that what we do is we put God's word out there. And we ask God to allow us as life group leaders, as preachers and teachers, to illustrate real life of God's word. Because it's God's word that doesn't return void. It's not my word. My word is meaningless. It may be good and it may be wholesome and it may be valuable at a graduation service, but it's what God writes upon our hearts. Impress this on your children from the earliest age. Teach them what truth is. It's the truth that sets us free, folks. It's not our freedom that sets us free. It's truth. That's why I want all of you to be in life groups. You need to be passionate about this with your children. Number four, establish family devotions.
Such tremendous insight from God's word, and our pastor challenges me every time I hear him that principle number four, are we involved in family devotions? You know, I saw a wonderful email the other day, some friends that are members of the Encouraging Word Encourager team, and they were telling me about how they FaceTime their granddaughter with a word of God. They actually kind of condense and make it childlike in the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide that they have. But that FaceTime they have creates a sense of family across the generations. We have an opportunity to build our families up in God's Word, the encouraging Word. And if we can put resources in your hands to help you, please let us. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD and ask for everything from the written copy. We call it the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. We'd love to put that in your hands absolutely free. Just ask at 866-899-9673. Or you can visit our website, sign up for the daily email and more. That's at theencouragingword.org. But before we get away, you know, the pastor has shared many things today, but this could be the very most thing right here.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If the Lord has stirred your heart to a decision, you need to share that. And we would love to be one of those you would share that with at the other end of 866-899-WORD. Give us a call. Let us put free resources in your hands that will help you grow. The number again is 866-899-9673. And we can connect online as well at theencouragingword.org. Now, in these last couple of weeks, folks have been talking about this new version of the classic book from Dr. Wilton called Totally Secure. If you're interested in getting a copy, let Dr. Don tell you a little bit more about the book first.
You know, in all my years of sitting at the feet of Dr. Billy Graham, he said this to me. He said, Don, the most important thing in life is to know that you belong to Jesus. And then he said, the second most important thing is that you know that you belong to Jesus. He encouraged me to write this book, Totally Secure, to help you find the answers to these important questions. That's why he endorsed this book of mine. I want you to have a copy of this book. I want you to have the assurance that you are going to heaven. Please pick up the telephone right now and call the number on the screen and request your personal copy of Totally Secure. The Encouraging Word Broadcast Ministry is supported by viewers and listeners just like you who want to make a difference in the world. So thank you for requesting my book, Totally Secure. Your financial support enables us to continue moving forward for Christ.
Now you can get your copy right now online at theencouragingword.org or call for details on how you can put a copy in your hand or the hand of a friend's right away. That's 866-899-9673 or visit us online at theencouragingword.org.